Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless the lesson, the sermon tonight, and draw us closer to Him. Dear God, we commit this time to You. Lord, just fill me with Your Spirit. Simply means control me completely with Your Spirit. Lord, that I'll rightly divide the word of truth and give us a word of encouragement tonight from Your Bible. Help us, Lord, in our walk with You. I pray that You'll help us to be faithful. I pray, Lord, that You'll help us to stay focused and not be distracted by the devil and all the things we may be thinking about we got to do later. But, Lord, just help us to stay tuned in and, again, be encouraged in our walk with You. And all the praise, Lord, we pray will go to You. And, again, draw us closer. We thank You for Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. You know, there used to be a TV show called Candid Camera. Candid Camera, and most of this crowd remembers that show, right? Where they would film people as they were in a variety of situations. Usually they were awkward situations, remember? And normally they were orchestrated by the Candid Camera crew. And they'd have the cameras rolling, and it would be all kind of strange stuff. It was kind of funny to watch for the most part. And to let the unsuspecting and usually very perplexed victims of the prank finally know that they were being pranked, Alan Funt, remember him? Alan Funt would say to them something like, "Smile." Now, come on, you can do a little bit better than that. "Smile." Right. And then they'd like, "Oh, okay, this makes sense now." Well, you know, many times you and I are perplexed. Many times we are confused. Many times we are flustered by life, right? Can I say to you tonight, smile. Let's try it. Smile. It's okay. God's got this. Okay. Smile. It's okay. God's got this. Now, when you come to church, you know, we usually put on a pretty good face, right? You know, even if we've had the worst week of our life, we still put on a pretty good face, right? So you may be here tonight and you've had one of the most challenging weeks of your life, or if it's not the most, maybe it's in the top 10, and you're just like, you know, it's real. I believe this message, I just kind of felt compelled tonight to try to encourage everybody a little bit in their walk with God. And I was thinking about it. If it's not for anybody else, it's for me, okay? If you don't want to take it, I'll take it home, okay? But we're going to look at God's Word. Smile. It's okay. God's got this. We're going to be looking at, actually, the word smile. We're going to be spelling out some things that if we remember, I believe it'll help us put a smile on our face and remember that it's okay because God's got this. The first letter of smile is... I knew this was a brilliant bunch. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, or pay real close attention to the monitor. Philippians 4:13. First word we're going to look at, and we may be finished quick tonight. I'm not really sure. This kind of depends on how God takes control here. But first word is strength. Strength. Okay? If you need a smile, if you need to be reassured that it's okay, God's got this, Philippians 4:13, now there's a whole bunch of people wear this shirts with this on it. It's a very popular verse. I have to say that sometimes it's misapplied because it's not saying that, you know what, I'm going to be a rocket scientist, or you know what, I'm going to go to the moon and I can do it. I'm going to fly to the moon because this tells me that I can do all things. Because that's really the idea behind this verse is, when I'm doing what God wants me to do, I can do it all because the strength comes from God. It's not a blanket statement. But if you're serving God, this ought to encourage you. You say, I'm trying to serve God. Not perfect. I fail God all the time, but I'm trying to serve Him. I'm trying to be faithful. Just remember strength. This verse says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, normally the focus is always, I can do all things, right? But really what I emphasize tonight, it says, through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, we got a whole people. Where did the world say our strength comes from? Our strength comes from ourselves, right? We got to psych ourselves up. We got to give ourselves a pep talk. We got to read a book on how to do this and how, you know, we can accomplish whatever we want to because we got power inside of us. You know, follow our heart because we're all, you know, we can do it. Just pull yourself. Can I tell you, for a child of God, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Now, you know, it's not like we're supposed to be little weenies or wimps either and say, well, no, I can't do nothing, therefore I'm not going to do anything for Jesus. No, that's not right either. The balance is use what God has given to you, but understand that the strength to get through anything, when you're confused or perplexed or just downright flustered, the strength comes from the Lord. And if you're here tonight and you say, I just don't know, preacher. If I can put one more foot in front of the other, I just don't know if I can keep on going. I just don't know. I'm just so whatever. I'm glad that the strength comes from the Lord. And if you're not tapping into that, into that source, it's kind of like if you're playing basketball, okay? Now, I could mention a few people. Jason, who do you consider the best current basketball player today playing in the NBA?
Giannis.
Okay. Giannis. Now, he's that real big guy, right? He's a big guy. So that may not mean anything to you. Say Giannis. But really, can you kind of picture yourself playing like elementary school basketball? And you got all these elementary school players, and you're an elementary school player, and you got Giannis on the bench. Now, isn't that kind of goofy? If you want to win this little game of elementary school, but Giannis is capable and able to play, don't you think you're going to say, hey, you, Junior, get out of there. Giannis, get in there, right? And that's what we're doing if we're trying to handle whatever we're going through by ourselves. We got Jesus on the bench, so to speak. Jesus' strength. So guess what? Regardless of what we're going through, we should be able to. Okay, this is when you smile. We should be able to smile. It's okay. God's got this. And the S is strength. We can rely upon God's strength. Now, I wish I could say that it's like something you can see. You know, you see Jesus sitting on the bench. You say, come over here, Jesus. Jesus just comes in. It really doesn't work that way. But let me tell you, you're a whole lot less likely to have God help you with his strength if you don't ask him for his help and his strength. So what we really need to remember is let's go to the one who is strong, the one who is strong above all else. You know, I know you realize I'm a real brute and a beast up here, right? I mean, you realize I could bench press probably, what, 777 pounds? Seven pounds. I can bench press. But let me tell you, God can bench press anything. God can do it all. So the S in smile is strength. The strength to make it through this time comes from the Lord. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Second letter that we're going to look at tonight is the M. M. You say, that's not how I spell smile. Well, some people are not very good spellers, right? But the second letter is M. Okay, you know what it is? Matters. Matters. Now you say, what? You know, I'm perplexed, I'm confused, I'm struggling, I got this problem. If you are serving the Lord the way you should, guess what? What you're doing for the Lord really matters. What you're doing for the Lord really matters. It doesn't depend upon how many people see you do what you're doing. You know, we get that all mixed up. We get the world's idea in there mixed up with God's idea. Is there anything that God doesn't know? Is there anything that God doesn't see? Now, that's somewhat convicting as well as encouraging. He sees us when we fail him, but he also sees us when we are serving him. And if we're serving him and we're doing it for the Lord, guess what? If we're serving the Lord, it matters. Amen. I'm telling you, if you decide that, you know, well, nobody really cares. I'm just going to give it up. Can I tell you, it does matter to this world. It does matter to God. It matters to fellow Christians, and it matters to your fellow church members. It matters. Now, we may not know what's going on, but I really believe we got a bunch of people here that really do care. And what you're doing for the Lord does indeed matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. I really enjoy this verse. You've heard this verse before. It's been around a long time. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren. You know, it's talking about how the Lord has given us victory over death. It's talking about how we don't have to worry about things like that. But notice what it says. Therefore, my beloved brethren, who do you think that might be talking to? To us, right? Be ye steadfast. Steadfast. What do you think of when you think of steadfast? Holding your ground, right? Now, when I played football, I was a small lineman. Usually linemen are supposed to be really big, except for the guard. And I was the guard, but normally the guard's a whole lot bigger than me. And I remember the people that I blocked and the people I had to keep away from the running back and the quarterback and all that. I had to learn leverage really well. And I think that's one area I'm pretty good at. I can leverage whatever weight I have against a lot of different people because I'm used to it. I know how to stand. I know that to me is kind of like being steadfast. It says, be ye steadfast. So make sure that you're secure, that you're stable, serving the Lord, unmovable. Unmovable. Now, we don't really need Christians today that are movable, and they shift all over the place, and they're like weenies. They're like weeds blowing in the wind. Have y'all had a lot of wind around here? I don't think the wind blew this much when I was growing up. I don't remember the wind like it is today. I mean, it seems like 9 times out of 10, when I'm in Doddridge County, if I look up on the hill, everything is going. It's a good thing I'm not a beanpole, or I'd be blown away. The wind seems to, we don't need that kind of Christians. We need Christians that will stand firm, unmovable, steadfast, doing what they know to do is right, always abounding. Notice this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. When you think of abounding, what do you think of? Plenty. Okay? Overflowing, maybe? Let me ask you this question. Can you be doing too much for the Lord? Now, I think, you know, you can become overcommitted. Don't misunderstand me. But I don't think doing what God wants you to do that you could be doing too much for the Lord. And it says, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding. Not just in certain seasons of life. As long as God gives us the ability and the health and the wherewithal, we're supposed to be abounding, overflowing, plenteous, in the work of the Lord. Now the point I really want to make, notice this, is that it matters for as much. Why should you be doing that? Why should you keep on serving the Lord? For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, the idea of being vain is empty or worthless. Now there's a whole lot of things in this world that once we breathe our last, it's worthless. And once this world burns up, it's worthless, right? Eternally speaking, worthless. But can I tell you what's not worthless? What we do for the Lord. So it matters. It matters. It doesn't matter if all that you do is wipe some snotty-nosed kid's nose during Sunday school. It matters. Or being kind. I was blessed with some of our older folks sitting with some of our younger kids in our church. And that's great. Keep it up. Keep in mind, kids aren't perfect. You figured that out. But that's okay because we're not perfect either. We just behave ourselves a little better in church than some of the kids do, right? But it blesses me when some of our people just say, you know, come here and sit with me. You know, sit with me and try to keep them in line a little bit. That matters. Putting a smile on your face and saying, hey, how you doing? And meaning it. That matters. When you sing up in that choir, I don't care how off key you might be. If you're making a joyful noise to the Lord, it matters. It doesn't matter if you see a piece of trash out in the parking lot and you pick it up. It matters. It doesn't matter if you're working to take up the offering. It doesn't matter if you're working with the kids or the adults or teaching a Sunday school class or whatever officer you are. Don't ever think it doesn't matter. And when you go around about the community and you represent Jesus in a good way, it matters. You don't know who's watching you and paying attention to the way you respond. You know, I've heard these stories where people, like in these stores or whatever, have given back the wrong change on purpose because they suspect that you call yourself a Christian, and what are you going to do about it? See, serving the Lord matters. Now, we don't have an eternal perspective yet. We're still looking at this old world the way that it is, right? And sometimes, honestly, I'll tell you, sometimes it seems like regardless of how hard we try, we're not making any difference. It doesn't matter. It appears to us. But let me tell you, when we're doing it in the Lord's name and serving the Lord, it matters. Keep on doing it. It matters. Smile. It's okay. I can understand your confusion, Linda. Smile. It's okay. God's got this. Okay, let's practice that. I'll say the smile part, and you say, it's okay, God's got this. Okay, smile.
It's okay, God's got this.
Right. Why? S, strength. The strength that we have comes from the Lord. Don't rely on your own strength. It'll let you down. Secondly, the M, it matters. It matters. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Third letter. Can someone give me what the third letter is? I. That's right. I. Impact. The letter I. Impact. Now, this is related to the other. But if you keep serving the Lord, you will have a positive impact. Not only does it matter, but guess what? There is going to be fruit. Fruit from your labor. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Again, I'm emphasizing different parts of the verse than typically in these verses we emphasize, okay? The point here, it says in this verse, usually what's emphasized is let us not be weary in well-doing, right? That's normally the part that's emphasized. But I want to look at the latter part of that verse under the idea of impact. It says, for in due season, do we know exactly when this is going to be? No, but God does, right? God knows exactly. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. In other words, we'll have a harvest. We will have an impact. And I can't help but think of souls here when we talk about this. You know, we do several ministries by faith. Really, we do. We got one coming up in July. It's called the Fireworks Outreach, right? Now, if the city would just hold up their end of the deal and have some real good fireworks, we'll keep on doing it for a while. But it's amazing how the last couple of years that's taken off. Now, people come up here on the property. They were doing it anyway, so we just decided to open the gate and then make them feel welcome and give them something for coming up. Hopefully, in their mind, they're getting some positive thoughts and memories up here on the hill at Oakmount. And they're coming up here, we give them a hot dog, we've given them a bag of chips, we give them a bottle of water, we give them a gospel tract that talks about freedom, you know, talk the birthday of our country, right? Freedom, how we can have freedom in Christ. If they read it, they could actually be saved. Now, we do those ministries by faith, right? We do Vacation Bible School by faith, right? We do the Easter egg hunt outreach by faith, right? And it's not like when we do it, it's like boom, 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 boom. Look at all those people that are now coming to church. But you know what? I better settle down. I'm going to strain my voice. Jason, if I start getting carried away, start doing this up there, okay? I just need an excuse to get a drink of tea. It's still warm in there. But you know what? We do those ministries by faith. And I think sometimes when you first start doing ministries like that, you kind of, and God can do anything. I'm not saying that God can't, because God can do anything. But typically when you do ministries like that, you don't see a boom. But you got to keep in mind, in due season, we'll reap. If we keep on doing what we know to do right is right, we'll reap. I really believe in my heart of hearts that these seats will be fuller and fuller and fuller if we keep doing what we know to do is right. Because we're having an impact. You know, you may remember a time we weren't having anybody from the apartments, or very few, and now we're getting a few more, and it's a work of faith, because they'll be here for a little bit, then boom, they're gone for a while, and then they come back, and they won't ride the van for a while, right, Larry? Then boom, but we're making an impact. Those people down there know that this church cares about people. And those people down there know that we care enough to give them a hot dog. And you got to keep in mind, sometimes our role in someone crossing the finish line, so to speak, accepting Jesus as their Savior is what I'm speaking of. Our role is turning them from a negative to a positive attitude toward the gospel. You know, a lot of people think we're just plumb nuts anyway, because we're Jesus fans. We're Jesus freaks. We go to church. We actually take time from our recliner and all those stupid video games of the world and television and all Facebook and Instagram and what's all of them? Chit chat and TikTok and TikTok and I don't know what they all are. We actually take time from all of those things to come to church. So they think we're crazy anyway. So if we can give a cold bottle of water to someone in the name of Jesus, guess what? We may turn them from a negative to, they might start thinking and looking at us and say, you know what? They're not quite as crazy as I thought they were. Maybe their life will start to fall apart in a few years, and they'll say, you know what? Those people seem to have a little bit more calmness and peace in their life than I do. Maybe I better figure out what they got. And we might see them back there in the back of the church. You see, if I'm understanding this verse right, if we do what we're supposed to be doing and just keep on doing what we know to do is right and just keep on doing what we know to do is right and just, no, I'm not losing my mind, I'm doing this for emphasis, and keep on doing what we know to do is right and keep on doing what we know to do is right and keep on doing what we know to do is right, we'll have an impact. And there'll be a harvest. We'll reap a harvest. Now, it doesn't say it's going to be a huge harvest, but it's going to be a harvest, right? Smile. It's close. I like your spirit. Smile. It's okay. God's got this. The S is strength. The S is strength. Just rely upon the Lord's strength. It's the Lord which strengthens us, okay? So if you're perplexed, you're confused, you're stressed, or whatever, ask the Lord for His strength. You say, preacher, about all the prayer I can muster is, Lord, help me. Well, keep on uttering that prayer to the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I think you honor that, because the strength comes from the Lord. Don't leave Him on the bench. Get Him in the game with you and say, Lord, I need you in the game here. I need your strength. The M in smile is matters. If you're serving the Lord the way you should, it matters. It matters. Don't ever think that you're... You know what? If nothing else, when you come on Wednesday night, you say, preacher, I want to let you know, I don't get a thing out of your sermons. Well, you won't be the first to tell me that. But guess what? If you don't do anything else by showing up, you're encouraging the preacher. I mean, really, it's encouraging to look around and see people. Right, Amy? It's encouraging. She giggled at me. It's encouraging. And if you're serving the Lord, it doesn't matter in what area, what area you're doing it, it matters. It matters. It matters to the Lord. It matters to the people around you. It matters to the people you're ministering to. And the I of smile, thirdly, I is for impact. Impact. If you keep serving the Lord, emphasis on keep serving the Lord, guess what? You'll have a positive impact, and it's called basically a harvest is what the idea is in this verse of Scripture. So smile. It's okay. God's got this. Two more letters. We're done. L. You say, that's a good guess. Did you say love? Yeah. All right. She gets a star for the day. The sayers get the gold and the silver, bronze, gold star, okay? L is for love. Love. You say, I'm perplexed. I'm confused. I'm tired. You know, life throws a lot of things at us, and I'll be the first to tell you that. But the L stands for love. You know, God loves you supremely, and he's always there for you. God loves you supremely. Now think through this logically, okay? Think through this. If God is the God of the universe, and he can do anything he wants to do because he's all-powerful, right? Remember, he can heal people. We're in that series of Miracles That Teach. He can heal anybody he chooses to heal, right? A lot of our problems in life are because of our old bodies falling apart, right? Failing, right? So if that same God that could heal people, Jesus in the form of his, as the Son of God, when he was on this earth could do that, he can do it today, right? Isn't he the same Jesus that said, peace be still, and nature obeyed him, right? If he's got that kind of power over man, over nature, over anything that he wants to have control over, and he loves us, and we are his children, don't you think we can understand and smile and say, it's okay. God's got this. Now, the world's got it all mixed up. The world says, God must not love me because he let this into my life. Let me tell you, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff he doesn't do. You know, if I get on the road and a drunk driver is coming the other way, and I had this experience. When I was in college, I was hit head on with a drunk driver. I have this little scar. I was going to be a movie star, but this scar here just ended my career as a movie star. Right, Amy? You didn't know me then, did you? But because of that scar, I had to give up my movie career. But where was I going with it? But when that drunk driver hits me, and I'm in a, you know, I can't say, well, God, why did you let me get? I mean, yeah, God can do anything he wants to do, but we live in a sinful world, right? And really the only way that we cannot be affected by sin is for God to make every human being a robot or a computer or something. Just, okay, you just got to do exactly what I tell you to do, or a puppet is another word, right? So since we live in a sinful world, don't blame God for all the bad things. But just keep in mind that he loves me supremely. He loved the world so much he gave his son, right? For God so loved the world, that's us. And whether we've accepted it or not, we're still the world and he still loves us, right? And if this God who is all powerful and we're his children, we can just rest assured when we're confused, when we're distressed, when we're perplexed, when we're dumbfounded, when we're whatever, we can say, you know what? It's okay. I can smile. It's okay. God's got this. Because he loves me. I mean, God is not going to drop you. You know, we got companies that drop us, right? Like, you know, okay, you're we're downsizing and they'll drop you. We got even in people in our families that want to drop us, right? And we got marriages where husbands and wives say, I drop you. God is not like that. God is an eternal God. And when God establishes a relationship with a child of his, and when we are saved, there is no way that we can take ourselves out of God's hand. Really, what happens is we're in Jesus' hand, and Jesus is in God's hands, if you read that passage, really the way it is, and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. Nobody. So we got to rest assured when things look bad and look perplexing and look distressing, we can say, you know what? God loves me supremely. That ought to allow us to smile just a wee little bit. Don't you think? I mean, have you ever got a love letter? You know, when we were first, we met and were married in 7 months. When she found me, she said, there ain't no better, so I better marry him. If you believe that, I have some oceanfront property down in Fayette County, southern West Virginia, that I would like to sell you. No, that's not the way it worked. But really, when God is, I'd graduated, she was in her last semester, and God just brought us together at the right time. And so, but there for a while, I was working away, and she was here at WVU and in Doddridge County. And you know, she'd write, I'd buy her a present. Every time I'd see her, I'd buy her something little, right? Remember that? And she'd get that, and I'm sure what she thought, because you probably had the same experience, you're like, wow, someone loves me. And then we put a little note with it, maybe, and we put, roses are red, violets are blue. Yeah, a nice little note, and even if it's stunk, the receiver that says, oh, gets me right there. Beautiful, beautiful. And it means a lot, right? Because there's love there. We got a love letter right here. It's called the Bible. He loves us, and you cannot run away from God's love. He loves you so much. And even through the things that He allows in our life, whether it be because we live in a sinful world or because sometimes we're just plumb sinners, because we are, He still uses it to help us grow and mature in our walk with God. You see, God loves you supremely, and He's always there for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Now, we already mentioned John 3:16, but notice 1 Peter 5:7. It says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, you think about that. Now, if you just read that, it's kind of like, okay. We're talking about the God of the universe. I mean, we're talking about the God who is God above all gods. He's the only God, and He can do whatever He wants to do. And He tells us in His Word, you know what? You can cast all your cares. When you're confused, when you're perplexed, when you don't know which way is up, you cast your cares upon Me, and I'll take care of them because I care for you. Wow, that's not something. I say it again, our God did not have to be that kind of God. He could have said, you know, in this same verse, it could have said if He wanted it to, hey, if you're in trouble, it's your problem, Bubba, handle it yourself. He could have, but He says, no, cast all your cares upon Me because I care for you. Wow. Smile. Okay, let's try that again. Smile. Okay, while you're on a roll, let's do it again. Smile.
It's okay. God's got this.
Right. Oh, you guys are funny. Smile. S is strength. You've got God's strength to help you through. The M matters. If you're serving the Lord, it matters. It matters. If no one else in the world knows what you do, you say, preacher, I do all this stuff behind the scenes and not a single solitary soul even knows I do it, and no one has said they appreciate it. Can I tell you, God appreciates it, and it matters. Strength, M is matters, I is impact. If you keep serving the Lord, you'll have a positive impact. Remember? You'll have a positive impact. You'll reap if you faint not. Just keep on, keep on serving the Lord. The L is love. God loves you supremely. He's always there for you. He even tells us in His Word, hey, bring your burdens to Me. Bring your cares to Me because I care about you. And the last letter is E. 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 They're all good guesses. And some of them are really close. Eternity. 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 You know, if we can't think, have you noticed the older you get, the sweeter heaven appears?
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? You know, when things get here, I remember even at Tech, you know, when I was getting my engineering degree, it was not easy, and you'd have these tests, and you'd be trying to do this project, you'd try to get this down. See, it's interesting. My two degrees are totally different because my undergrad is in engineering. It's labs, it's problems, it's solving, things like that. And then, of course, my seminary degree, you read until your eyeballs fell out, and you wrote essay answers and questions in Greek and Hebrew and all that. So they were totally opposite, going from problem solving and problems and lab labs and hands-on that to seminary where it's all reading and tests and all that and very practical, of course. But you can see the difference. It was totally different. But I remember at Tech in engineering, you know, you'd have those moments you'd be stressing out. You know, before I got my mechanical engineering degree, you'd be stressing out over like, oh, I got tests tomorrow. I got so much to do. How can I? And for me, college and seminary wasn't really a matter of getting everything done. It was just figuring out what you didn't have to absolutely get done because there just wasn't enough time, especially in engineering. It's like, I can't do all this, so what am I going to do? Teacher wants me to read the whole book and work all the problems just so I'll know how to do it. I don't have time to do that. So when I got stressed, you know, I start thinking, you know what? Heaven is going to be good. You know, and that's really way, way on. You know, and you, as we get older, things, the problems get bigger, right? And we wonder, you ever found yourself daydreaming just a wee little bit? You're like, you know what? Yeah, heaven's going to be good. Yeah. No bad days there. No bad hair days. No hair loss. No graying. No wrinkles. No... You know, nobody's going to say anything mean or bad or ugly, or nobody's going to have a bad attitude and not want to be there. You know, it's just like everything is going to be good. You ever do that? Well, if you're perplexed, if you're confused, if you're distressed or just plumb stressed, guess what? Keep in mind, you can smile because eternity is looking us right in the face. Eternity. I kind of wish sometimes we had a reset button, don't you? You know, life gets really, don't you just wish you could just go problem-free and worry-free and everything be perfect? Just reset it. Just, you know, they used to call, I think, an easy button from Staples, you know, the Staples, the office supply. They said, if you need something, just hit the easy button, you know, boom, hit the easy, big red button, hit the easy button. Oh, everything's here. Fine. I got the computers I want, and I got, you know, all the office supplies. That was the idea of the commercial, best I remember. But wouldn't it be good just to hit a reset button? Boom. You know, reset. I'm not behind in anything anymore because I just hit the reset button. Wouldn't that be good? Now, y'all with me? Y'all human? I mean, forget the honey-do list. It's done because I hit the reset button. You know, we got eternity to look forward to. You talk about hitting a reset button. I mean, boom, all the worries, the stresses, the things that makes us anxious or concerned, gone. And it's not just until I hit the reset button again. It's an eternal reset. It's completely perfect and wonderful. Don't you think eternity is going to be sweet with the Lord? And I don't think, as long as we don't get too preoccupied by it, I think it's okay to think about heaven. I mean, the Bible talks about it, right? And it describes it. And I'm not going to go in Revelation and tell you where it says we're not going to have any more tears or problems or death or crying. Because you've heard that a lot, and you know that. That's part of it. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'll explain why I chose this passage. This is the passage on the rapture. And remember, I'm voting for the rapture. How many of you vote for the rapture instead of dying? Okay, good. All right. But when we go up in the rapture, guess what? And it could happen any moment. Is that the trumpet I hear? The eternal reset button will be hit. It says, this is just part of it. After those that are dead in Christ, their bodies resurrect and they get a brand new body, meets their soul and spirit in the clouds with Jesus. Then it says, then we which are alive and remain, that's us, good Lord willing, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You talk about a glorious meeting. Once some of you get over your fear of flying, it will be wonderful. There'll be no fear of flying. I'm just joking about that part. Some people say, you know, I don't fly because God doesn't promise he'll be with us. The Bible says, and lo, I am with you always. Yeah, think about that. Some of you are going, huh? Low, not high, low. Terrible. Okay, it says, to meet the Lord in the air. So shall, this is the part I want to emphasize, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's eternity. That's eternity. So when we're stressed, distressed, perplexed, just plumb, worn out, whatever the case might be, and wonder, does my life really matter? Does anybody appreciate me? Guess what? Just give it this thought. Eternity's an long time. And eternity is going to be sweet, and eternity is going to be with the Lord. Now, how can anything be wrong with eternity? With the Lord there. There's not any, I can answer that. The answer is there is nothing wrong with eternity because the Lord is there. You know, you and I, we can smile. Okay, we're struggling a little bit tonight, but I think everybody's a little tired. Let's try again. Smile. That's right. That's right. God's got this, okay? Smile. Strength. You've got God's strength to help you through. Just remember that. Matters is the M. Matters. If you are serving the Lord, it does matter. It matters. I, the impact, remind yourself that if you keep serving the Lord, you'll have a positive impact and a harvest of some sort. You'll reap, the Bible says. The L is love. Just keep in mind, God loves you supremely, and he's always there for you. God loves you supremely. And even if there's not another soul that you can name in this world that really cares, God cares. You're his child. I mean, I can only imagine. I mean, my imperfect love of my boys, I mean, if they holler from North, I told them, I said, if you need us in North Carolina, we'll be there. You know, just give us a little bit of time, we'll be there. Imagine the perfect love of our Heavenly Father when he says, you got to care? Cast it on me. Let me know about it. I mean, can you imagine that degree? And lastly, the E of smile is eternity. Eternity will be sweet with the Lord. So, if in life, and you may be here tonight. Now, everybody looks good. You know, everybody. Gwen doesn't have her snake shirt on. You look good. You know, everybody can put a smile when you laugh and you smile. You look good. And I think everybody's hair is combed. Those that have any to comb, it looks good. And you know, but you may be here tonight, and you say, you know what? It's tough. It's tough. I'm having a bad day. I'm having a bad week. This life, we got some news. Or can I tell you, this life is short, but eternity is forever. Can I encourage you to smile? Because it's okay, really. If you're a child of God, you've got your eternal home settled. It's done. It's a done deal. And our life is like a vapor. I know it's tough, but it's like a vapor. And there's a lot of good things about life. I don't want to make it sound like everything's bad about. No, it's not. There's a lot of sweet, wonderful things about life. But man, it's going to be over. And you're a child of God, and he's got this. So if you're here tonight, you're perplexed. You might say, preacher, I'm fine. I'm good. Well, good. Maybe tomorrow you may not be so good. Something might happen. You're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this. Just keep on. Keep on serving the Lord. And smile. Can you smile at me one last time? And let's say that. Smile.
It's okay. God's got this.
All right. Okay. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? I'm just going to mention these things that we talked about, spelled out smile as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed. You know, maybe you want to pray about these certain areas. I mean, maybe something the Lord will just lead you to pray for his strength, for instance, when I mention this. But smile. It's okay. God's got this. Strength was the S. You've got God's strength to help you through. Maybe you just want to say, Lord, I need your strength right now. Can't do it on my own. Need your strength. The M is matters. If you're serving the Lord, it matters. It matters. Maybe you need to pray and say, God, would you help me to realize that it really does matter, the things I do for you? Just help me to be convinced of that in my heart and my soul and my being, that it does matter. The I is impact. keep serving the Lord, you'll have a positive impact. Maybe you'd like to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to see that impact. It's okay, I believe, to pray that. Sometimes we need to see a little impact, a little harvest. Maybe say, Lord, if it's your will, would you let me see some harvest and some impact? See some good things happening as a result of me serving you? If not, just say, Lord, help me to keep that in mind regardless. The L is love. Would you just thank the Lord for his love for you, that he loves you supremely and he's always there for you? Would you take just a moment and say, Lord, I just praise you, thank you, worship you for loving me. The last point was eternity. Eternity. If you know the Lord Jesus, will you take just a moment and thank him that your future looks very bright and that you'll spend eternity with him? And maybe you need to say, Lord, just help me to keep that in mind. Not to be preoccupied by it, but just to keep it in mind that I'm going to spend eternity in a glorious place, a perfect place called heaven. Bowed and every eye is closed. Let me remind anyone that may be here, anybody that may be listening in, the only way really that you can have all these things, these blessings that we've talked about under that word smile, it's okay, God's got this. The starting point to get all these blessings is to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And if you're listening in or you're sitting in tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'd encourage you sincerely from your heart, truly mean it with all that you are. Would you take this time to just call out to the Lord and ask him to forgive you of your sins in prayer? Ask him to wipe the slate clean and thank him for Jesus dying on the cross to pay for your sins. Tell him you believe all that the Bible says about Jesus. And then would you confess with your mouth in prayer to the Lord and mean it from your heart that Jesus is your Savior? If you would do that, mean that from your heart, truly mean it from your heart, you can be saved right where you are. Whether you're in your recliner or whether you're in the seat here at church, you can be saved. I'd encourage you to do that. Nothing better in life than to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your encouragement tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we'll all just take it with us. Maybe there's some here tonight that really, really, really needed to hear that encouragement tonight from your word. That we can indeed smile because it's okay. God's got this. We just thank you for being that kind of God, the kind of God that you are. We pray this in Jesus' name.